Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Kamala toured a semiconductor plant yesterday. By the way, if anybody's ever seen the HBO show Veep, this scene, and it might be a little hard to hear, so Nick, if you can narrate it,
yeah.
This scene is right out of Veep, where she's touring a semiconductor plant, and she goes, oh, can I touch this? They're like, nope, don't touch that.
Oh, jeez. It's like my daughter. I say, don't touch the stove. Why? Is it hot? Yes, it's hot. Don't touch it.
Can you roll cut one, Phil, if you can roll that in?
Here is actually a harvested U-rod where we actually do grow it. So this is what it looks like when it comes out of our process. Of that. So do not touch it.
It's so awesome.
So amazing.
So with that being
said, and shiny.
You can see Elaine like blowing something up.
She's like a little infant or a toddler. Remember when your kids were in that stage where they wanted to put everything in their mouth, and you're like, no, you can't put that in your mouth. You'll choke. Don't touch it. And by the way, everybody in that video wearing a hard hat except for her. She should be wearing a double-layered one.
Can I touch it? No, don't touch.
No, don't touch.
It's amazing. Oh, God. It's amazing. All right, so asked her, she was asked about her poll numbers. She took questions from the press a little bit yesterday. And we played the clip yesterday where she said that she goes by her own internal polling. It's just gut instinct is what she goes by. So screw those polls.
Yeah.
She goes by what her gut tells her, just like her Tim Moles.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to trust your own sniffer.
Cut two, Phil, go.
We are entering the final week. The polling has you Donald Trump essentially tied.
Stop it.
Do you believe those numbers?
Sorry. This is an interview. I had the wrong clip here. This is an interview that she did with, who's that, Norah O'Donnell, right?
Mm-hmm.
This aired on Sunday morning. So this is not a question from the press. Apologies for that. Cut two if you started over, Phil.
We are entering the final week. The polling has you and Donald Trump essentially tied. Do you believe those numbers?
You know, listen, it's a presidential race, and it should be close. Big issues, and I am traveling the country, talking with voters, listening to voters, and I intend to earn every vote we receive. But I will tell you, in all honesty, I'm seeing a lot of enthusiasm around our campaign.
So she's going to trust her gut instinct, and she thinks the vibes. Remember, vibes were a key word. It's all about the vibes.
The vibes.
Joy, hope, change, turn the page, about the vibes. I don't know. The vibes seem to have evaporated over the last 8 weeks.
Yep.
And the more she talks, the more people get to somewhat know her, the more they seem to just kind of miraculously dry up. But you know what? Yeah. At the end of the day, TDS and abortion might be enough to get you across the finish line. You never know.
Let's talk to two veteran pollsters, political campaign strategists, whatever you call them. Let's start with Frank Luntz and his bad hair.
Yes.
He was on the BBC. These are both the Madison Square Garden rallies, discussing them. First, Frank Luntz on... What that comedian said about Puerto Rico change anything in the 2024 race? Cut 17, Phil, go.
Also, still plenty to play for. Let's speak to Frank Luntz, a pollster and communications consultant who has advised the Republicans in the past. Frank, first of all, thanks very much for being with us. Just on the Trump rally at the weekend, do you think that event will sway voters, including Puerto Ricans?
Donald Trump has been saying some pretty harsh stuff in the recent weeks, and yet his numbers seem to be improving. So no, I don't think it's going to sway people. Now, make no mistake, the Puerto Rican vote matters. It matters significantly in Pennsylvania, just as the Latino vote overall matters in Arizona and Nevada. So every single vote matters. Every single vote counts. And you don't want to be angering any specific group. It was not Trump who said it, but it was said at his rally. But I would just point to, most people know what Donald Trump is, who he is, what he's about, his administration, how he talks, how he engages people. And they don't know the same thing about Kamala Harris. And here's the strange thing. In situations like this, where people jump on Trump, it doesn't move his numbers at all. And in fact, with 8 days to go, I'm wondering why the Harris campaign isn't explaining where she's at, mm-hmm. what she will do in the first hour, the first day, the first week, the first month, the first year, all of this. We know that Donald Trump is inappropriate. What we don't know is what Kamala Harris will do.
It is, if in fact Kamala Harris does lose, it is going to be probably the most detrimental and lethal political miscalculation that we have seen in a long time. From the standpoint of, look, you're going up against a guy who is running for the third time. Everybody under the sun has an opinion on Trump one way or the other, right? You love him or you're against him. And there's nothing you don't know about Trump. You have made, and oh, by the way, a condensed time frame. Remember, they subverted democracy. She didn't become the candidate until July 21st. So she doesn't even have the full political calendar in an election year to define herself. So let's just say, hey, I'm Nick Kahle. I'd like to tell you who I am. And Greg Stocker says, well, normally we let you say what you're about for 10 minutes, but I'm only going to give you 4 minutes, Nick Kahle. So if I only have 4 minutes to explain who I am, I'm not wasting the little allotment of time that I have talking about somebody else that everybody already knows. It's up to me to define who I am and what I'm about. And that's the miscalculation here, right? It's a gamble. It's a roll of the dice. It's a risk. And by all means, we're talking about the closing argument right now of Kamala Harris, and it's Trump is Hitler. Not this is who I am, this is what I believe in, this is what I'll fight for, this is what I'm going to advocate for. It's more about her opponent than it is her. And I bet you if Frank Luntz started a poll right now across America in the 7 swing states that will decide this election, I bet you there's still more people that would say, yeah, I'd like to know more about her. I don't know if that's 51% or 81%, but the majority of people still probably want to know more about her. And they don't know anything about her. Which also could speak volumes to how limited she is. Think about that. Well, we don't really love this candidate, so we're going to badmouth the other one because we can't really prop up the one that we have.
Well, think about that. This goes back to the Biden basement campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are they trying to hide?
Right. You know, it's actually funny. She's technically not in the basement because of COVID this time around, but they're still hiding her in broad daylight, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is the current Vice President of the United States of America. If I'm the Vice President, I'm holding daily, she could hold daily news conferences talking about happenings, whether it's Israel, whether it's dealing with the issues in the nation. Hold a daily news conference. You're the Veep. You're the actual Veep.
Yep.
So, and why not, you know, this summer right away start saying, we're implementing this now. Why wait? This is what I want to do. This is my plan. As she says, you know, taking the transition. Why didn't they start the transition, you know, back when they that weekend made the big announcement?
Yeah. It's amazing. They'll start transitions with 12-year-olds, but they won't start the transition early enough with a candidate.
Oh, God.
On the other side of Democrat political strategist James Carville issues a dire warning for the Trump campaign over the rally speaker, the joke that was made. Saying that this is going to cost him. Cut 18, Phil. Go.
Goes on. We've lived through a lot.
Right. Right.
But the math is the factual history. Donald right. Trump did about 46% in 16 and got the Electoral College. He did about 46% in 20 and lost. And I ask you, did what we see and saw and lived just tonight and through the rally last night, does that help him get up over that 46% ceiling he's had?
He lost in 2018. He lost in 2020. He lost in 2022. The Democrats have won every election that's been held in the last 2 years. Trump is a giant loser. And the sooner people acknowledge that and know that it's
true,
why
are you talking about
they
him?
Stop fearing him. Mm. The stuff last night
was so over the top, it's unbelievable. Let me just one little factoid here. You know how many Puerto Rican voters there are in Pennsylvania? 273,000. This is going to cost him votes. And a substantial Puerto Rican vote, also in Michigan. And I've worked, these are very prideful people. They describe that they're Puerto Ricans first. They describe that is their identity marker. And
identity
this is
marker?
A community that is not going to take well to this. I promise you. And they are, and there's a ton in Florida, which is going to end up being a lot closer than anybody thinks. But have Steve Kornacki look around and see how many Puerto Rican voters there are in swing states. There's a lot, and they much more identify with their island than almost anybody else around the world.
I think the media is making it a bigger issue than it really is. And, you know, he talks about 200 and whatever thousand Puerto Rican voters in Pennsylvania. But, I mean, we can sit here and counter stats for stats all day. I mean, I can sit here and say, well, there's 700,000 veterans in Pennsylvania. And a majority of them, more than 50%, will probably vote Trump, assuming they're going to vote. So, you know, that's all fine and good. And we can dice up numbers any way you want. As far as losing, I mean, did he forget that Republicans won the House in 2020? I mean, he conveniently left that out, but that's fine. You know, I don't at this point Carville or Axelrod. We're at the point now, and it's not a cop out. It's not an excuse. I think it's the reality. It's October 29th. We're less than 7 days away. There's been no October surprise. I mean, let's think about what we've talked about. That is, quote, negative headlines for Trump in the last 7 to 10 calendar days. We're talking about a comic with a joke that went bad. And we're talking about allegations of groping from 31 years ago. And his popularity keeps going up.
Yeah, but Nick, I think that Carville shows us the Democrats' hand.
Oh, he does.
And so this is their strategy and their hope. And you have Shapiro out there talking about it. Shapiro saying there are an estimated 500,000 Puerto Ricans in Pennsylvania right now. And so this is what they're going after, is to influence this community to say, you've been disrespected. Take a second look at this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to finally get to this. I've been teasing this for about an hour.
Here we go. Time to pay off the big tease.
So this is this happened on CNN last night on Abby Phillips' show, so dozens of people saw it. More people are going to listen to it right now.
You ever notice, by the way, anytime we play Abby Phillips, it's always something that somebody else said on her show, never what she says? Which is never good for a host when it's never you that's highlighted.
Great point. So she had a roundtable. They were talking about Israel and Palestine, and they had Mehdi Hasan on. You know, the guy who was he was a host on MSNBC. He was fired. Then he started up his own thing. They also had GOP strategist Ryan Gurdusky on, and he said something to Mehdi Hasan that got him banned for life from CNN. I didn't even think that was possible, but they came out in a statement and said he will never be on these airwaves again. Well, after saying
CNN's done this before.
Have they?
Yeah, they banned Clay Travis for life years ago when he was on with Brooke Baldwin, and he said there's two things I believe in: the First Amendment and boobs.
What?
You can find it. It's on YouTube. He's banned for life from CNN.
So apparently they have a history of banning people for life. I think it just makes for interesting content, but whatever.
Yep.
This is cut 19. Phil, go.
You don't want to be called Nazis. Stop doing.
You're called an anti-Semite. You're called an anti-Semite more than anyone else at this table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people sit there and no, by me. I never called you an anti-Semite. Okay. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying
I'm a supporter of the Palestinians. I'm used to it.
Yeah. I hope your beeper doesn't go off. The thing is
there it was.
You should not.
No,
did you just say I should be killed?
No, I did not say that. No, I did not say that.
Hold on. Did your guest just say I should be killed on live TV?
I said I hope you're.
Guys, let me just stop.
You said you hope my beeper doesn't go off.
You said I'm a big supporter
of the Palestinians.
Hamas.
Guys, let me
Palestinian. Are you?
Am I what?
No, of course I'm not.
Are you a racist, violent person inciting violence against
Ryan, Ryan, Ryan.
That's disgusting.
That is completely.
No, I apologize.
That is completely.
Let's have first block. Say the Muslim guy should be blown up.
I apologize.
On TV.
Don't say then I apologize. You literally.
I thought you said Hamas.
You didn't think I said Hamas. I said I supported Palestinian rights.
Yes, I did.
Why? Because when you hear
what's funny is Rudy Giuliani said this yesterday, so you're a great guest to be here to defend Rudy Giuliani.
I wasn't going to entertain nonsense today. And so at this point,
this is what we're in now. This is America in 2024.
Here's what I will say.
Forget the racism.
That's right.
I should die.
I didn't say that. You
said, what does beeper mean? Don't give me a fake
ignorance. I didn't say you should die.
Why did you say with my beeper?
What did you mean?
What did you mean by the beeper?
Wow.
Amazing.
No, you didn't. You said, I hope your beeper doesn't go off.
Ryan, stop talking.
At least have the guts to support your racism.
Ryan, stop talking.
Oh, it's racist. The guy made a joke because
why yesterday's rally was
thought he was supporting Hamas, right?
To threaten the brown guys, a terrorist, and kill
him. Oh, calm down.
I didn't ever say Donald Trump.
Everybody's so sensitive.
But you know who sat on a stage?
Okay, all right.
Wow.
Did he say he supported?
No, he made a joke. He said
That joke missed more than the guy on Sunday night at the rally.
No, the joke was a pretty quick comeback.
Yeah.
To say, you know, about his beeper, but did the other guy? Did the other guy actually say he supported? Who did he say he was supporting?
I don't know.
Because that's the allegation is that, you know, you're supporting terrorists. You're anti-Israeli.
Well, Gerdowski.
And so then he makes the comeback of, well, I hope your pager doesn't go off because he's making a quip.
He's been kind of the alternative source. Like, you know, Scott Jennings is on that show a lot, who does a phenomenal job. I guess CNN did issue this statement. They said there's zero room for racism or bigotry at CNN or on our air. We aim to foster thoughtful conversation and debate, including between people who profoundly disagree with each other, in order to explore important issues and promote mutual understanding. But we will not allow guests to be demeaned or for the line of civility to be crossed. Ryan Gerdowski will not be welcome back at our network.
Man.
That's the official statement.
Oh, for God's sake. I mean, these people don't know how to make good TV.
No.
I mean, you can say what you will, but that's good TV.
It is. It is. But, you know, when you think, and I'm not defending them over Gerdowski, but Gerdowski has to be aware, like, just take a look around, dude. You're surrounded by a bunch of ladies that hate you, right? So you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. They're going to jump down your throat. That's the first time I've ever seen Abby Phillip actually have an ounce of authority on the air. She's like, Ryan, just stop talking. You shut up.
Well,
he snapped that beeper joke off fast.
You can make the argument that he was being discriminated upon because he was the only white guy.
Well,
on the panel.
The counter argument to this is, and the defense is, if CNN's going to sit here and talk, or MSNBC, by the way, because that's Ari Melber. Or no, that's Mehdi Hasan.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we played Melber earlier in a clip
with James Carville.
You can't have it both ways when it pertains to bigotry and racism from the standpoint of it's okay to call Donald Trump and Republicans Hitler, right? Mm-hmm. And then say what Ryan James Gerdowski said is racist. I'm sorry. You have to pick and choose, right? You're either against all of this or you're going to allow all of it to be echoed under the umbrella of free speech and the First Amendment, right? Because I'm sorry, calling somebody Hitler is wrong. And that should not be allowed to be. If we're going to play by these rules, then anybody on any of these networks spewing this Hitler nonsense, they need to be banned from the network. If we're going to say that, according to CNN's official statement, we do not condone any racism or bigotry, and we foster thoughtful conversation.
Thoughtful.
By the way, it's not thoughtful to call a person who's never done anything wrong to a Jew Hitler.
I'm looking if Ryan Gerdowski is he Jewish. I don't know the answer, but what strikes me here is, you know, in this show in particular, if you're familiar with it, they have one conservative. In this case, Ryan Gerdowski is a, you know, Trump supporting conservative. And then the others just gang up on that person.
Yep.
That's what this is.
Yep.
But, you know, for Mehdi Hasan, who is a Muslim, identifies himself as a Muslim journalist, he's somebody who was giving rhetoric where he supported, quote unquote, Palestinian rights. And so where does that go? I mean, he's been accused of being an anti-Semite. And so that was the context of this conversation. So apparently it's okay if you do rhetoric that would be considered by some as anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. That's okay over here. That's why Ryan Gerdusky thought he was well within his rights to quickly spout off and say, I hope, you know, I hope your pager doesn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
That was not to me a quote unquote racist comment. It was a reaction to what Hassan was saying.
Yeah. And by the way, it's probably got to be, I think it would be fun for me personally, but I do understand it's a tough spot. Whether you're Scott Jennings or Ryan Gerdusky as the Republican at a roundtable on a left-leaning network, or on the other side, even for like on Fox, when they have the five, Harold Ford and Tarlov are the liberals on a panel of conservatives and Republicans or Trump supporters. Not an easy task because you do get ganged up on, right?
Yeah.
I would love it. I would revel. I think Scott Jennings handles it beautifully. And that right there is probably the difference. I don't think Scott Jennings is making a beeper joke. That, and not, again, not ripping Gerdusky for doing it, but I think Jennings pushes up to the line, but he never gets ganged up on for doing anything that is a fireable offense in CNN's eyes.
By the way, CNN, I'm available to consult on how to make good TV because I know how to make good radio. So just say
I bring it.
I know how to make good radio. I know how to make good TV.
But they're all triggered. And they
triggered is good. Triggered is funny. Right, Dawn?
Well, it is. For maybe they get some ratings.
Well, conflict sells.
Greg Stocker, whatever.
Guess what? Erin Burnett, she don't sell.
Yes.
Abby Phillip, she don't sell.
You guys need to learn how to do TV. I'm just saying, like, I get it. They're like, we're a respected news network, and we're not here to have... okay, then be in last place. Lose to reruns of SpongeBob SquarePants. Fine by me. Fine by me. I'm just saying, you want to learn how to do TV, that's the medium you're in, then learn how to do good TV. And that is good TV.
History Channel beats them.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody beats them. Yeah. We have more. We have more listeners right now in Delco than they have nationally. Thank you.
Wasn't Mehdi Hassan the one who interviewed? It was kind of a hit job against.
Yeah, what did he get?
Taibbi.
Yeah, he got whacked for some. Oh yeah, he definitely ambushed Taibbi.
Remember that?
Yeah, that was over. Not the Twitter files. That was over. That's another topic that we talked about.
It might have been the Twitter file stuff.
Was it?
But it was... So Matt Taibbi is, I think, a brilliant guy and obviously a famous author and somebody who's an investigative journalist who you could say is more left-leaning but tries to be that objective journalist who looks into things. And we've seen him testify and so on. But Mehdi, you know, so Mehdi Hassan he loves to set people up. And so he, under the umbrella of, oh, we're going to have a journalistic conversation, Mehdi Hassan was on prompter and then did a real hit job. And I thought it was unfair.
He's just a wang.
To Matt Taibbi. But I'm just saying he's a coward because if you prepare and you have the power of a network and you've edited all kinds of things, you're on prompter, you're scripted. And he brings on Matt Taibbi, who has a slight speech impediment and is not a TV guy necessarily. He's a writer.
Yeah.
I hated that interview. I hated the hit job he did on Matt Taibbi. And that's what Mehdi Hassan does. He does these hit jobs on people. And so immediately when he had an opportunity, that's racist. I'm a Muslim. You're racist against me. So what is he doing? He's refusing to have any conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, many accuse him, Hassan, of being the one who is anti-Jewish, hates Jews, and in fact has rhetoric that you could say, well, his rhetoric is dangerous.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. CNN suits late last night getting emails. The boss is getting up. They're probably like, man, no more Gerdusky, more of Anton. We just got to put Anton on. More of that.
Holy cow.
Yeah. You just got to do more polling, more aggregate data. This is why we do not get combative on CNN, and it's a think tank. Okay. Terrible network. Oh, is that it? You got anything left? What else you got in that hopper back there?
Greg's having a cigarette.
Was it good for you?
Look at this. Nobody can ever say I don't prepare. Look,
who said
look
that?
At this. Look at this, Dawn. I have like 6 pages here of stuff.
I like that because then we just
steal.
We just go off of Greg's.
Yeah.
We don't even steal it.
No, we
say
really,
it.
We just riff off of it.
We fully acknowledge your hard work.
Yeah.
We're honoring the stalker hard work.
No, That's right.
I'm just kidding. This is here for everybody. All right, let's break. We really have to break, guys.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get our morning mystery movie clip, and then we will also get to either a big three or your voicemails. And, of course, today in music history and what is on tap for the Dawn Show, which is coming up in exactly 32 minutes and 24 seconds. But first, I got to talk to you about my friends at DuckDuckGo. They're back again. You know why? Because, A, they're a great business. And secondly, we're all sick of Google. We don't trust them. They suppress search results. They spy on you. It's just terrible, right? That's why I'm so proud to partner with DuckDuckGo for a second time, because they are the best search engine going, and they are founded locally right here in this listening area. And now they said, you know what? We want to get even better. We want to take your online privacy and security, and we want to take it to the next level, which is why I personally have subscribed to Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. And I encourage you to do the same as well. This 3-in-1 privacy service, it's going to give you a secure VPN anytime, anywhere. Secondly, they provide you identity theft protection. I don't want anybody stealing any of my information, any of my identity, bank information, social security, address, credit cards, you name it, and neither do you. And the third leg of the hat trick, personal information removal, which will blow your mind. It's also going to agitate all of those hackers, those scammers, and those con artists out there trying to siphon your information. So take advantage of this special offer now, exclusively for our listeners. Just go to duckduckgo.com/1210 for a free 7-day trial offer. And once you love it, once you do it for 7 days, you're going to say, you know what? $9.99 a month, sold. Sign me up. Do it today. Thank me later. duckduckgo.com/1210.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Vinny, who's joining us in Delco. Vinny, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
All right, guys. I just wanted to say you're great, and I made the switch.
Thank you, brother.
I want to talk about Shapiro. He said to a farmer or a rural guy that the only way for him to get ahead is if he gets a government job. Well, that's a problem, because the reason he can't get ahead is the oppressive taxes he's burdened with to pay for that government job. Mm-hmm. And then to add insult to injury, he's going to dumb down the job so you can get one.
Right.
So we got a bunch of dum-duns running the state.
Yeah, waiving the college requirement. Now, I will say this, and thank you for the call, Vinny. I do think college is overrated, even as a college graduate. But yeah, you're lowering the standards. And, you know, do you really think Shapiro plays in rural communities? I'm not sure that I buy it. He looks a little too clean, a little too polished. But then again, I don't know. Maybe some people do take the bait. Let's come back, and we will get to voicemails as well as what occurred today in music history, what's on tap for the Dawn Show. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Right now, let's get to the voicemail hopper.
Bruce Springsteen absolutely blows.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree.
He has always blown.
Uh-oh.
Will continue to blow.
He's just a wang.
Every song that he sings sounds like he's constipated and sitting on the toilet.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You just ruined the last 3 sips of my coffee.
You're welcome.
Sorry.
You know, it is interesting, though, right? Like, Bruce and Bill Clinton, every time they end their speech or whatever word or a sentence that they complete, it sounds like they're letting out their last gasp of air, doesn't it? It's like,
Dawn, any comment on the fact that Bruce Springsteen, to quote this guy, has always blown?
Nope, no comment. I mean, I go both ways. It's a sin.
We have a drop for everything.
Yeah, about the Amish vote. Little backstory.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadians had almost as many Amish as we did.
Yep.
Then they made the mistake of messing with the Amish milk production by trying to force all the Amish to use milking machines. The Amish moved en masse, complete exodus, out of Canada.
Went to Lancaster.
This milk is a serious issue for the Amish, and the fact that they feel threatened by the Democrats may mean that we have a nice, solid little shard of voters there, and they could just cut the, this could be the little extra boost that Trump needs. Who knows?
Yep. Don't mess with Seamus, the or the buggy, or their milk.
Or Amos.
By the way, I'm a 2% guy. Where are you guys on the milk scale?
Whole milk.
You're a whole milker?
I'm yep. not a. I'm not a child, so I don't drink milk.
Okay. Phil.
Oh wait, hang on.
Phil
hang,
Lundquist.
Hang on, Phil.
Phil Lundquist.
2%.
You're 2%.
Yeah, definitely 2%.
All right. All right. Dawn wants the full bang. We go 2%.
If you drink milk after the age of 7, you have a problem.
You don't have a glass of milk with a little dessert or.
I have milk with cereal.
Little cereal.
Both hideous.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on here?
Well, the
Odyssey app is fading in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Odyssey app is fading in and out?
Maybe Kamala hijacked it.
I don't know that. I'm sorry. We'll have our best people on it.
Pretend, Ozzy.
Yeah. Hey, Pred.
You know, we always thought Tim Walz was into Wang, but...
Yeah, a little more good.
Stunning upset. She's a woman.
Yeah. Wow.
And this explains why...
According to the Daily
Mail. He's always coming out to that Wang Chung song.
Everybody
have fun tonight.
Yeah.
Ozzy out.
Ozzy out.
All right, Oz.
He's just a Wang.
I agree.
All right, that's what we got in the voicemail hopper.
All right, we will pay some more bills. Remember, folks, bills are good. Bills are good. We'll pay the bills. We'll come back. Phil is in the chamber. He's ready to go, and then we'll find out what Dawn has lined up. 13 minutes out here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHA.
We got to talk about my friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. Now, these models have sleek new designs as well as innovative features powered by the latest in technology, with thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles that are available right now from dealerships across Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Just visit them. Piazza Premium Automobiles dot or Piazza Premium Autos.com, PIAZZA, Piazza Premium Autos.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Winding things down, it is Kale and Company Tuesday morning Dawn show in about 6 minutes. We'll find out what she has lined up momentarily, but he's been in the on-deck circle for like 13 minutes. And now scrolling up to the plate is Phil Lundquist with Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
Today, October 29th, we celebrate the birthday of Roger O'Donnell from The Cure, who's 69. Heavenly birthday shout-outs to Kevin DeBrow from Quiet Riot, Peter Green, the founder of Fleetwood Mac, and Denny Lane from the Moody Blues, as well as Wings. We also lost Dwayne Allman on this day in 1971. Singles include My Generation by The Who in 65, Do You Remember by Phil Collins in 89, Walk Like a Man by Grand Funk Railroad in 73, and Step It Out by Joe Jackson in 82. And a quick side note, my remembrance of the Joe Jackson show I saw about 30 years ago, someone brought a baby crying and ruined the whole show, so don't bring a baby to a show. Albums include Perfect Strangers by Deep Purple in 84, Donald Fagen's solo debut in 82, David Bowie released David Live in 74, and Traveling Wilburys Volume 3 was released on this day in 1990. Also in 2014, Phil Collins handed over his large album memorabilia collection to a Texas museum. In 91, Metallica began their Wherever They May Roam tour. In 87, David Bowie began his Glass Spider tour. And per request by Nick around 7:30, George Michael performed at the Orange Bowl in Miami on this day in 1988. But lastly, on this day in 78, Michael Schenker performed his last concert with UFO, one of the most underrated bands of all time, bar none. For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
What about Phil giving me a long-distance dedication request? Beautiful.
Keep on reaching for those stars.
There you go. Thank you very much, Casey. Dawn, what do we have lined up top of the hour?
Yeah, right at 10 o'clock, you are going to hear from the woman from Delco, my friend Val, who was the one who was arrested yesterday in Delco, minding her own business. I guess a woman in America or in Delco is not allowed to exercise her First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
But you'll hear why she was arrested. Hear it from her. She's speaking out for the first time. This is Val Bianconiello, who is also a highly respected businesswoman and GOP, obviously a GOP chairperson there and represents the state. So she's somebody who's going to talk about exactly what happened at the polls. And she has some specific advice that I want everybody to hear. Trump, obviously, in Delco today. But speaking of that, we'll have GOP leadership. We'll also have a guru on the economy. So much going on. We've got it all. A lot of breaking news right now. And Trump breaking news as well with his big announcement. So we'll get to all of it coming up.
All right, Dawn Show coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. That'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. We will see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Tony Bruno with us in his weekly spot at 8:30. And folks, always remember,
it is the fault of the Wayne.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.